molding mankind according to their fancy, and mankind to this end enslaved by force or by imposture. And what does this prove? That because men in society are improvable, error, ignorance, despotism, slavery, and superstition must be more prevalent in early times. The mistake of the writers quoted above is not that they have asserted this fact, but that they have proposed it as a rule for the admiration and imitation of future generations. Their mistake has been, with an inconceivable absence of discernment, and upon the faith of a puerile conventionalism, that they have admitted what is inadmissible, namely the grandeur, dignity, morality, and well-being of the artificial societies of the ancient world. They have not understood that time produces and spreads enlightenment, and that in proportion to the increase of enlightenment, right ceases to be upheld by force and society regains possession of herself. And in fact, what is the political work that we are endeavoring to promote? It is no other than the instinctive effort of every people towards liberty. And what is liberty, whose name can make every heart beat and which can agitate the world, but the union of all liberties, the liberty of conscience, of education, of association, of the press, of movement, of labor, and of exchange. In other words, the free exercise for all of all the inoffensive faculties. And again, in other words, the destruction of all despotisms, even of legal despotism, and the reduction of law to its only rational sphere, which is to regulate the individual right of legitimate defense or to repress injustice? This tendency of the human race, it must be admitted, is greatly thwarted, particularly in our country, by the fatal disposition resulting from classical teaching and common to all politicians of placing themselves beyond mankind to arrange, organize, and regulate it according to their fancy. For whilst society is struggling to realize liberty, the great men who place themselves at its head, imbued with the principles of the 17th and 18th centuries, think only of subjecting it to the philanthropic despotism of their social inventions, and making it bear with docility, according to the expression of Rousseau, the yoke of public felicity as pictured in their own imaginations. This was particularly the case in 1789. No sooner was the old system destroyed than society was to be submitted to other artificial arrangements, always with the same starting point, the omnipotence of the law. San Just. The legislator commands the future. It is for him to will for the good of mankind. It is for him to make men what he wishes them to be. Robespierre. The function of government is to direct the physical and moral powers of the nation towards the object of its institution. The Lodvarin. A people who are to be restored to liberty must be formed anew. Ancient prejudices must be destroyed, antiquated customs changed, depraved affections corrected, inveterate vices eradicated. For this, a strong force and a vehement impulse will be necessary. Citizens, the inflexible austerity of Lycurgus created the firm basis of the Spartan Republic. The feeble and trusting disposition of Solon plunged Athens into slavery. This parallel contains the whole science of government. Le Pelletier. Considering the extent of human degradation, I am convinced of the necessity of effecting an entire regeneration of the race, and if I may so express myself, of creating a new people. Men, therefore, are nothing but raw material. It is not for them to will their own improvement. They are not capable of it. According to San Just, it is only the legislator who is. Men are merely to be what he wills that they should be. According to Robespierre, who copies Rousseau literally, the legislator is to begin by assigning the aim of the institution.